Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Hi, I'm Reverend Christine Green. My pronouns are she, her, and welcome. Thank you for being here today, and thank you to those at home for being here today. Such a beautiful day, and it's always a joy to be here with you. Wow, what do I say after that? I mean, that was a talk in itself. So, yes, we bloom where we are planted. And my talk today is about unfolding possibilities, about the journey of transformation. It's about how do we allow ourselves to receive and be present for what's available to us. Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge, right? For knowledge is limited to all that we know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all there is to know and understand. And so anything is possible if we will allow ourselves to see it and receive it. And I was inspired by this little book called The Art of Possibility by Rosamond and Benjamin Zander. It was written a long time ago, and it's just basic principles of life, but it really goes along with what we believe and practice. And so how they begin their story is with about a story in Africa. And it's a story of how a shoe factory sent two marketing scouts to a region in Africa to explore and to study the prospects for expanding the business. And so the first one sent back a telegram and said, the telegram said, "Situation hopeless. No one here wears shoes." And the other scout wrote back triumphantly, "Glorious business opportunity. They have no shoes." So to the marketing expert who sees no shoes, the first one saw hopelessness. But to the colleague, they saw abundance and possibility. And isn't that what happens, that we see life through our own perspective, through our own lens, and how whatever it is that we've come to believe or what we've been told, we take that on, and that's ours. That's our perspective. And so that's step number one in the art of possibility. And the Zanders write 12 steps. I'm just going to cover the first five. The first step is it's all invented, right? Each person invented the situation. It's hopeless. It's full of possibility. And that's what we have been given a life that was invented. I don't know about yours, but mine was one of lack, that there wasn't enough. You know, my family, my parents grew up during the Depression, that they struggled and that there wasn't enough. We always seemed to have enough, but if I wanted a little bit extra, there wasn't enough. Or I heard that old adage, what do you think, money grows on trees? So we've been told these stories and we've believed them. And so we've developed behaviors around them. And one of the other stories that I have is from my mom. My mom was afraid of a lot of things. And one of the things she was afraid of was the water. But she was afraid to, even though we went to the lake every weekend, she was afraid of the lake. She didn't go in the water. She just had a fear. But she had the courage that she wanted my sister and I to take swimming lessons. So we went to the local pool and we took swimming lessons, and you were placed according to your age group and your ability, and then we would move up by category as we excelled. And so I was in a group, and we learned how to swim and everything, and now we were in the deep water. We're getting ready to learn how to dive. So we were in the deep water, and what we had to do is jump off the side of the pool and swim across. And I jumped in the pool, and I panicked because I was afraid of the deep water. And I feel like, and my mother was watching, I feel like I had her energy. So here was the deep water. I jumped in and I panicked. And I flailed, and the lifeguard jumped in, and he brought me back to the other side. And then what he did is he sent me back to the other group, to the other group that was learning how to swim. What I wish he did was say, "What happened? You were afraid in the moment. Let's do it again. And I'll be with you, and I'll take you through this." But he didn't. And so I grew up afraid of the water for a long time. It took me a long time before I could be in deep water and be okay. So that's how we take that on, and it becomes ours. But it's all invented. It was all invented. It was the emotion of my mother. It was her belief. I was feeling it, and I took it on as my own. And we make choices based on those things that we've been told. So the Zanders say the stories we are told are all invented. So why not tell a new story, right? Why not invent a story or framework that works for what it is we want? So think about in your life, what is holding you back? What's something that you've been told? And you've been told, oh, that's too hard, or you can't do that, or that'll never work. So let's invent a new story. Why not imagine an abundant universe where everything is provided? Imagine a world where we are kind to each other. Imagine living in a community where we respect and honor each other. Imagine a world that works for everyone. Imagine yourself achieving the thing that you desire. So it's all invented. Let's invent a new story. Step number two, step into a universe of possibility. So the Zanders write that we live in a world of measurement, winning and losing. We have acceptance or rejection. Our hopes are raised or are dashed in despair. But they're all based on a single assumption, and it's about life, that we've got to survive life and make it through. Life is about survival. So we measure ourselves along the way. How are we doing? How's my health for this framework of life that I'm in? How's my health doing? Where's my finances? Where are my finances? We measure ourselves. So surviving in the world of scarcity, we measure these things, and we compare and we contrast. And so think about it in school. Children are given grades to compare against each other. And so in a measurement world, you set a goal and strive for it. But in a universe of possibility, you set the context and let life unfold. So you're more likely to be successful if you're joyfully participating in something, right? If you're feeling like your life's not depending on it, but let's make this fun. Let's have fun doing this project or living this life that we're living. So Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak did not set out to create a trillion-dollar company. They were two friends messing around with circuit boards in their garage, and they wanted to make something that matters. And Apple was born, Apple Computers. Yvonne Chouinard loved climbing, but hated the environmental damage that was caused by the gear. So in 1973, he founded Patagonia to create sustainable outdoor clothing. And his commitment to the planet over profit turned a small business venture into a billion-dollar brand. Because he saw a vision and he acted on it. And so it just grew out of his joy and his willingness to see something greater. The founder of Nintendo was passionate about entertainment and social connection. And so because of the passion for playfulness and creativity, he created Nintendo, which carried through with all of its games. So these companies found passion to fuel their ideas and their motivation. So instead of a narrow goal, they saw a bigger vision. Step into the universe of possibilities. As we joyfully participate, we step into what's the possibility? We've heard Ernest Holmes tell us over and over again, the infinite is unlimited possibility. The third step is give yourself an A. And so as I said earlier, that the purpose of grades is to measure one student against another. And that competition puts strain on our self-ability, our self-esteem, on friendships. So the Zanders said, in most cases, they were both professors in music. They say in most cases, the grades say little about the work that is done. What if you reflected to a student that they misconstrued a concept? You know, you misconstrued it, or you took a false step on a math problem. You're sharing something about their performance. If the lifeguard said, you know what, you had a moment of panic, let's do that over again. I would have learned something from that. But if you simply give, in school, if you simply give a grade like a B+, you're saying nothing at all about their mastery of the material. You're matching that student against the other students, right? Because they're graded on a curve. So what if we gave ourselves an A? Michelangelo is quoted as saying that inside every block of stone exists the beautiful statue. All one needs to do is remove the excess material. Isn't that a great way of seeing it? Remove the excess material, and there's a statue inside. What if that was applied to education? It would be pointless to compare one child to another. Instead, the energy would be focused on chipping away at the stone, allowing that beauty, that creativity to come forward. So they tried this out. It's called giving an A. It's an approach that transforms people. An A can be given to anyone in a walk of life, to a waitress, to your employer, to your mother-in-law, to other people in traffic. When you give an A, you find yourself speaking to people not from a place of measurement, but a place of respect that gives them room to realize themselves. So Ben tried this one year with his music students. He told everyone in the class they would receive an A for the course. But there was one requirement. Each student had to write a letter in September that was dated in May, and the letter would begin with the words, "Dear Mr. Zander, I got an A because." And then they were to write in great detail what happened to their lives that gave them the opportunity to receive this amazing grade. They had to place themselves in the future and look back and see what they learned. What did they learn about the topic? What did they learn about their instrument? What did they learn about themselves? And especially, he wanted to know, how did your attitudes, your beliefs, your feelings, your insights, how did those change? He wanted them to fall in love with the person that they would become. And here's one of the letters he received. "Dear Mr. Zander, I got an A because I had the courage to examine my fears, and I realized they had no place in my life. I changed from someone who was scared to make a mistake to someone who knows she has a contribution to make musically and personally. I found the desire to convey music to other people, which is stronger than the worries I had about myself." Isn't that awesome? She saw that in herself, that she had something to contribute, not be afraid of what's my grade going to be, but how am I going to contribute? So what would it be like to give yourself an A? I wish I knew this as a writer. I wish I knew this before I wrote my books, and for beating myself up all the time for not meeting my goal or not getting this done on time or not having the right grammar or whatever it was at the time. If I gave myself an A, it would have been a whole different experience. I had an electrician come to my house the other day. He was putting up ceiling fans, and the project took longer than he anticipated. And he was a perfectionist. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he did an excellent job at everything. But at the end, he was sighing and like not feeling very good. I could feel his energy. And he said, "Oh, sorry, if you hear me sighing, I'm just frustrated because this is taking so much longer than I anticipated." And he says, "I really learned a lot from doing this project." And he did an awesome job, but at the end, he was so frustrated with himself that he didn't time it correctly, that he was showing his frustration. And I had to sage my house when he left. Because I could feel his energy, you know. But so I invite you, give yourself an A. Give yourself an A for the day, and just imagine, what do you want to see at the end of the day for yourself? And also give other people an A for their willingness to show up. Step number 4, be a contribution. So Ben Zander shares that he grew up in a Jewish home, and every evening at the dinner table, his father asked him and his 3 siblings what they did that day. And so there was an underlying expectation in the home that everyone would grow up to be hugely successful in whatever they chose to do. So being the youngest, he got to go last. And he said he was a nervous wreck because he had to listen to each of his siblings go on and on about their day and what they did and how it developed and everything. By the time it got to him, he had no idea what to say. And it wasn't until his wife left him in his marriage, and she made a statement to him. She said, "Why don't we find a way to work together so that we can stay friends and we can help raise our children in the best way possible?" And he stepped back and he said, she's reinventing life. She's saying, let's take a new way of approaching this. Let's be friends about it. Let's raise our children in the highest light. Let's try this in a new way. It opened him up to see things differently. She wanted to reframe. And that's what it is, reframe the game. Reframe whatever it is we're doing. Do something that's going to change. And don't be afraid to ask for help. We are so hard on ourselves, especially women, we don't ask for help. We don't ask for assistance. We don't want to bother others. We know how awesome it is when we get to help. Don't you know how it feels? Haven't you felt it when you've been able to contribute? When you've helped somebody out, or you've shared an insight, or you've been there for somebody? But sometimes we close that off and don't let people contribute to us. But reframe the game, allow ourselves to be supported. So he says, Zander says, naming oneself and others as a contribution, this is a contribution, produces a shift away from self-concern and engages us in relationship with others. So we're engaging with others. We're serving at the level of contribution. So when he asked his students to write their letter, he also asked them to report each week about where they made a contribution. And he said it changed how they saw themselves. So practice not only where you can be a contributor, but acknowledge how others have been a contribution to you. And so step number 5, remember rule number 6. So there's he tells a story of a professor and his guest were in a room discussing world affairs when a man burst into the room, stomping and banging his fists on the table, and the professor spoke up and he said, "Peter, remember rule number 6. And Peter said, "Oh, I'm sorry," and he left. And the professor and his guest continued, and pretty soon a woman walked into the room, and she was waving her hands and ranting and saying all these things. And he said, "Marie, please remember rule number 6." She said, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry," and she left. After it happened the third time, the guest looked at the professor and he said, "I have never seen anything like this. What, please tell me, what is rule number 6? And he said, "Don't take yourself so damn seriously." And the visitor pondered for a moment and he said, "Well, what are the other rules?" And he said, "There aren't any." But isn't that true? We take ourselves so seriously. I have clients all the time wonder, what are other people going to think about me? You know what? Everybody's worried about themselves. They're not thinking about anything. Everyone has their own worries. Everyone's trying to do their best. But take yourself lightly. The Zanders say, if you make a mistake, throw your arms in the air and say, "That's fascinating." And so I added a couple. I added, if something goes wrong, put your hand on your chin and go, "Oh, that's interesting." And if someone makes a decision that goes against common sense, or at least your version of it, scratch your head and say, "I'm curious." So it's not jumping into the fray, but stepping back and looking at it differently, taking ourselves lightly. We're all doing the best that we can. And if we can do it with a little bit of humor, it changes everything. As you know, or I hope you know, the Portland frogs that showed up at the protests are known across the country and around the world because they brought humor to something that was so intense. To show up in a frog costumes, there are posters of frogs, Portland frogs everywhere, and memes everywhere. There's a group that has Red Nose Day to raise funds for organizations that will tackle poverty and injustice, to put on a red nose, to find the humor in it. So there's all kinds of ways that we can see to find the humor in whatever is going on at the moment. So here's what we see in the world. It's all invented, step number 1. Number 2, step into possibility. Number 3, give yourself an A. 4, be a contribution. And 5, remember rule number 6. So this is how I see it. Our country has not been going down a good path for a while. There's more concern over profit than people. we've been losing connection with each other. What we're seeing now is the collapse. We're the collapse of the old regime, of the old way of doing things. And we're starting to see people wake up, aren't you? People are waking up, they're stepping up. They're seeing things differently. There's a shift. People are opening doors, they're greeting each other, they're checking in on each other. The shift is slow, and there's still a lot of work to do, but it's happening. It's time for us to celebrate each other and to do what we can for each other, to be a contribution to each other. And in regard to what's going on in the world, I got this from, oh, and I lost her name now. She writes about angels, but she says, when there's struggle, send unemployed angels. Lorna Byrne, yes. Send unemployed angels to wherever the struggle is. Send light to wherever the struggle is. Send love to wherever you have an inkling of unrest, let's say, or uncertainty. Send love, send light, send angels. Let's send thoughts of goodness to change things. So, I don't know if you read Substack, but I follow someone on Substack named Shady, and he writes, receives stories and shares stories, and I want to share one of the stories that he wrote. I was sitting in my car crying in the Target parking lot. I just got the call, didn't get the job. Third interview that month, rejection after rejection. I felt like I'd never catch a break. An old man knocked at my window. He startled me. He was holding something, and I rolled down the window. He said, "Sorry to bother you, dear, but you dropped this," and he handed me a $20 bill. I looked at it, confused. "That's not mine." And he smiled and he said, "Yes, it is. You dropped it getting out of your car. Have a better day." And he walked away. I knew what he did. There was no 20. He saw me crying and he wanted to help without embarrassing me. I sat there holding that $20 bill, sobbing even harder. But different tears, good ones. I used it to buy groceries that week when I was almost out of food. Got a job 2 weeks later, better than the one I didn't get. First paycheck, I withdrew a 20. I kept it in my wallet. I waited for the right moment. I found it a month later, a woman at a gas station. Her card declined, counting her change, crying quietly. I walked over. "Excuse me, you dropped this." Handed her the 20, and she looked confused. She said, "I don't think, yeah, you dropped it by your car. Have a better day." Walked away just like the old man did. I saw her face in my rearview mirror. Same tears I had, the good kind. That's the world I want to live in. A world of possibility. A world where we look out for each other. We give each other an A, we're a contribution. We go out of our way to do something good. We see, we have empathy, compassion, generosity. Let's build that world together. Let's take this into prayer. Oh, so taking a breath right now, just tap into that heart space. Allow your breath to breathe into that space of love and light. That in that place of love, right where we are, there is an infinite amount of possibilities. Possibilities for newness, for love, for light, for awareness, for compassion, for abundance, for generosity. It's all right here. It's all right here. It already is. We just need to tap into it. And so today we do. We tap into it today. We tap into that flow of life, that infinite flow of life that is good, that is God, that is spirit, that is life flowing in and through and as us. And so in that flow of life, we receive this good, whatever it is. We receive it, we claim it, we feel it. And we send it out as the flow of life. It moves in and through and as us, and we send it out into the world wherever it needs to go. We send light to any place of darkness, love to any place of conflict, peace to any place of pain. And we do, knowing that there's infinite amount of love, infinite amount of possibilities for good. And so as we go out this day, we take this good, we take this light, we take this love with us wherever we are. We claim it, we feel it, we are it. I'm so grateful for this opportunity and for this knowingness. I give thanks for all of this with a grateful heart. And together we affirm, so it is, and so it is. Bless you. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.